Welcome to the Human Project for Kids podcast, the show where we think about your big questions about what we are, who God is, and how we are meant to live. Are you ready? Let's get thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of the Human Project for Kids podcast. My name is Rachel. I am an elementary school teacher and the co-author of the Human Project for Kids series. I'm joined here with Reese. How are you doing, Reese?
I'm doing good. I'm breathing, which I think is a great way to start any day.
That sounds great. Always a plus when you wake up breathing.
I think so, yes. I heard a hand clap somewhere. I feel approval. I feel loved.
Okay, and we are joined by two very special guests today. Boys, could you tell us your name and how old you are?
Hi, my name is Tristan, and I'm almost 11.
And my name is Samuel, and I'm 11.
Great. Well, it's really fun to have you boys here. To get to know you a little bit better, we've got a question for you to start things off. And our question today is, if you had to be an aisle in the grocery store, what aisle would you be? So you could be like the bakery section or the frozen pizza section or the chips and pop section. What would you be?
I would definitely be the candy section.
And I appreciate what's your the honesty of that.
Favorite kind of candy?
My favorite kind of candy is Skittles, but there's a special kind of Skittles I like.
Because you're so sweet?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness, he's totally turning red. No.
Okay. Sam, what would you be?
I would be in the snacks aisle.
What would you do in your snacks aisle?
I would imagine me eating all the snacks.
Just imagine it. You wouldn't eat them?
I would.
Yeah. We've got some very honest guests here today.
I appreciate that.
This is fun.
Today's podcast brought to you by the Canadian Dental Association. Brush your teeth and don't eat all the stuff they just talked about.
Okay, so we are going to be talking all about rules and things like that, why we follow rules on our podcast today. But before we do that, we thought it would be really fun to imagine that we were going to design our own land or our own kingdom. Does that sound good?
Good.
Good. Okay. So, Reese, do you want to start us off by asking some questions? What do we need to decide about this kingdom?
So, first of all, the rules of this kingdom are whatever you decide. So, you don't have to like make sense or copy anything. So, for example, if I had a kingdom, it would be named Reestopia. So, that would be the name of my kingdom. So, maybe, Sam, let's start with you. What would you call your kingdom?
Sam City.
I like Sam City. That's good. All right. And Tristan, how about you?
I would call it Tristan.
Yeah, Tristan. No, that works. It may confuse people slightly, but that's good. So you would be Tristan of Tristan then. I get it. I get it. Okay. Now, every kingdom has some sort of capital building. And what would yours look like? So mine would be a castle made out of cardboard. That's what my capital building would look like. Would yours be like a fortress or a castle? What would it look like? How would it start with you, Tristan?
Mine, first of all, would not be like the pigs. I wouldn't make it out of cardboard.
You would not? Oh, okay.
I would make it out of brick so that it's strong, so that it actually stays up and cardboard would not stay up.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
And it would be a big tower with a bunch of T's all over it.
For Tristan. That makes sense. That's right. Or would it be T for tower?
T for Tristan.
Oh, okay. So would it be called like the Tower of Tristan or Tristan Tower?
I like the Tower of Tristan.
Tower of Tristan. That's awesome. All right, Sam, Capitol Building, your kingdom, what would it look like?
It would be a huge S and it would be like a huge bouncy castle on the top of it in the shape of a crown and only I would get to go on it.
I'd love that. Good. Very, very good. Very creative. All right. Now, what would your title be? So for example, I would be the Ultimate Grand Pumbaa. No, that'd be my title. It could be like king or commander or El Capitan. So what's your title as the ruler of this kingdom? And let's start with you this time, Sam.
The smartest, superiorist Sam.
I like that. Or the triple S. That's good. That's good. I like that. All right. Over to you, Tristan.
I would be the tricky Tristan.
Oh, tricky Tristan.
I like the alliteration we've got going
on.
This
solid,
is fun.
Solid T and S thing going on here. Okay. So what would your country use for money? So, for example, in my country, we use fingernail clippings.
That's disgusting.
It totally is. But it means that people are careful with money and nobody hoards it. And I feel like that kind of generosity is important in my country. So what would you guys use for money in your country? Tristan, what is used for money?
I would use a type of food And I think I would use corn.
Corn.
Corn, nice. Like
corn
pellets.
Kernels or a like, whole cob of corn?
Like a cob of corn, like with a little.
Yeah, nobody has a whole cob. Pellet. That's hoarding. That's way too much money. You buy a house with a cob of corn. All right, Sam, how about you? What's used for money in your kingdom?
Snacks. And every month when you have to pay taxes, you pay them with snacks.
I feel like that's very convenient for you. Oh, that's fantastic. Good. Okay. Now, that's what your country uses for money. Now, most kingdoms, they have something that they grow or they build and then they sell to other countries. We call that an export. So what's the number one thing that your country exports? So mine, it's pogo sticks. We make a lot of pogo sticks. We're the pogo stick capital of the world, basically. And so we export that to other countries. Sam, what does Sam City export to other kingdoms?
A statue of me in all my glory.
That is fantastic. And it's the number one seller, no doubt. Everybody wants a statue of Sam. Okay, Tristan, how about you? What does your country export?
We would do trampolines because it starts with a T.
Nice. That's good. I have a feeling.
A T and a R.
I can see where things are going. All right, guys, this is awesome. So the next one is, what would be the tourism slogan of your kingdom? So for example, it'd be like the blank capital of the world. So for example, my kingdom would be like the tapioca pudding capital of the world kind of thing. So let's start with you, Tristan.
Well, I don't fully understand what you're talking about. So I would be like Tristan Topia. Trickiness. Something.
What's the trickiness capital of the world? I like that. No, that's good. Okay. The blank capital of the world. What would it be?
The most majestic capital of the world.
That's awesome. Just go straight for awesome. Good. All right. The next one. Now, this is serious. This is very somber. What is the number one most unbreakable law of your kingdom? My most unbreakable law is don't slap Reese. That's like the most unbreakable law of my kingdom. So let's start with you, Sam. What's the most unbreakable law of your kingdom?
You're not allowed to make your kids do chores.
Wow. Disobedience rampant. Sam, city is in chaos. I like it. All right, let's go over. Tristan, how about you?
You can't murder anyone.
Oh, yeah, there's a strong common sense element there.
That's a good one, yeah.
I'm kind of rethinking my number one rule now a little bit. I mean, getting slapped, it should be no one murders Reese, I think. Mm. Now. Oh, we could extend that to everyone. Okay, moving on. All right, so you have your law. So yours is about parents can't make kids do chores, and yours is like a no murder law. So what is the penalty if they break that law? Like, for example, if I go speeding and then I get pulled over, then I get a speeding ticket. I have to pay a fine. So, for example, in my kingdom, if someone slaps me, then I get to slap them back with a baseball bat. So that would be like the penalty. But it's okay. The baseball bat is made out of cheese, so it's really kind of okay. So let's go over this time. Let's start with you. Tristan, if someone murders someone in your country, what is the penalty or the consequence of breaking that law?
They would go to jail for life.
Okay. And is the jail like a fun place, or is it like a horrible place you'd never want to go to, or what's it like?
I thought you would know. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Like really bad.
Okay.
Like terrible.
I like that. So it's inherent. It's definitely bad. Okay. I got that. Good. I gotcha. All right. Sam, if a parent is caught giving their kids chores in your kingdom, what happens to that parent?
They have to eat raw veggies for a month.
Oh, this is fantastic. This portion of the program brought to you by the farmers of Canada. Eat your veggies, kids. All right, very good. I really like these kingdoms. They sound amazing.
I would love to visit your kingdoms. So listeners, I'm wondering, if you were in charge of designing a kingdom, what would you call it? What are some of the things that you would have there? And what would your most unbreakable law be? And while you're thinking about that, we have some fun facts from Tristan and Sam for you.
Astronauts in space can grow up to 3% taller while they're in space. Whoa. There is a dwarf planet in the asteroid belt. Its name is Ceres.
Is that where Ceri came from?
Probably not.
You can purchase a leopard print bikini for your dog.
There's facts you want to know. And there's facts you can never recover from hearing. this just might be one of those facts. So is that a two-piece then?
A man in New Hudson, Michigan, planned to rob a bank. So he got his disguise and gloves on, but he forgot one important part, his bag to hold the money. When he got to the bank, he walked over to the teller and passed her a note that said, "You know what to do." Then the teller questioned the man on whether or not he had a bag to put the money in. He didn't. And trying to stay on the thief's good side, the teller whizzed around and tried to find something for him to put the money in. The thief left not rich with money, but embarrassment.
Did that really happen? That's awesome.
Okay, listeners, we hope you really enjoyed those fun facts. And now we're going to keep chatting about some rules that we should be following. So we kind of were imagining if we were in charge of creating rules, what we would make them. But I'm wondering, Tristan and Sam, who tells you what the rules are?
My parents.
Okay, so we get rules from our parents. Who else gives you some rules?
The government.
The government. Yeah, maybe your teachers have some rules when you're at school.
Yep.
Yeah? Okay, could you give us an example of what's one rule that you have at your house that you have to follow?
No yelling.
No yelling. And what happens if you yell?
We usually get a timeout.
Okay, so if you break the rule, then you get a consequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sam, what's a rule that you have at your house?
Hands to yourself.
Hands to yourself. So, like, you can't, like, give your sister a hug?
That's different.
That's different. What are you talking about? No hands?
Like, no violence, no punching, no kicking.
Sounds like a pretty good rule. And what happens at your house if you break that rule?
Well, our mom and dad usually talk to us about it and tell us to say sorry.
That's really important, right? You're saying sorry often when we break rules. So as an adult, too, we've got rules that we need to follow. So if I am driving my car and I speed and I'm not following the speed limit, the police officer might pull me over and then I would get a fine and I'd have to pay some money in order to keep driving my car.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like how there's signs that actually tell you what the rules are. So like for driving, there's signs that tell you, so like you're warned and you know there's a rule. And for you guys too, with your rules at home, your parents told you what the rules are. And they're also the ones that say you broke the rules. Would it be a little bit unfair if you got in trouble for breaking a rule that nobody told you about? Like, isn't that kind of the deal? Someone has to tell you about it?
I heard this, that there were some Christians, they went to an island and there was a tribe and they killed babies from other tribes, and they didn't know that that was bad. So then these Christians told them, and then they stopped.
Mm.
Yeah, they needed to know that there was a rule there. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, it is really important that to follow a rule, you need to know what that rule is, mm-hmm. right?
And yep.
So our parents are people, the government is another person that gives us rules to follow.
Yeah, I always find it frustrating when someone says, you should just know better.
Mm.
I mean, because sometimes I don't know better. That's why I need someone to tell me. So yeah, rules are communicated and consequences are communicated. Mm-hmm. If you break this, this is what will happen.
So do you think that it's important to have rules or good to have rules or bad to have rules? What's your opinion about rules in general?
Important and good.
Okay. Sam, what do you think?
Well, sometimes I feel like the rules are like a big cage holding me back and I can't do some things.
So sometimes it feels like rules are just to stop us from having fun, right? Do you ever feel like that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you think about a rule that makes you feel like it's just there to be mean?
I'm so excited that we're going this direction. I can't wait to hear how it turns out.
You need to have a helmet on when you ride a bike.
Okay, so that feels like if you need to have a helmet on to ride a bike, that you can't have as much fun as if you didn't have a helmet.
And sometimes you're just going like a couple meters just around like the parking lot and you still need to.
I remember when I was little, lots of times my parents would tell me rules, but they wouldn't tell me why there was that rule. So they would just say, oh, you just need to wear your helmet, right? And they wouldn't tell me why I need to wear a helmet. Can we think about why maybe you would need to wear a helmet when you're biking?
So that if you fall, you don't get a concussion.
Totally, right? And it's really dangerous, actually, to ride a bike because it's not just yourself on the road or on the sidewalk with your bike. There could be another person or another car.
It also helps your like insurance place so that they don't have to pay for your medical insurance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it helps other people too, right?
That's good.
So it's really important to understand what the rule is, but also why that rule is important. And in the case of not hitting or not yelling at people, that is to protect you and to protect other people. The same way that following speed limits and wearing helmets are, those rules are designed to protect us.
Sometimes rules, though, they're not good. They're not there to protect us. Sometimes people make mistake rules, and those rules we shouldn't follow. You had an example of that, Tristan, right?
Yeah. In the Bible, some Egyptian kings made rules, like to follow Baal, and the one where the king made statue about of him, and everyone had to
King
worship
Nebuchadnezzar,
it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if they didn't worship it, they would be thrown into like a pot of that was really hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Some fire.
That's right, and so
and they had to break it.
That's right. And so sometimes there is a rule, but it's not a good rule. And we know that because God's rules, which are higher, are not the same as that other rule. So we don't just break rules because we don't like them. We sometimes have to break rules because to follow God's rules, which are higher, and the rules that are made up and put in front of us, they're not the same.
Mm-hmm. Because we, as people, we make mistakes all the time, right? And we call that sin when we disobey God, when we break relationship with people. And so people who are in charge can sometimes make rules that are dangerous or harmful to other people. And so it's important for us to remember to follow God's rules, which are always going to be protecting and loving towards other people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to dive into a bit of a game to think a little bit more about how rules work and how it makes sense to follow rules that are designed to protect us, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the International Hovershot Championships. I'm your host, Angus McScotsman. And for those of you new to the sport, hovershot is a game of skill and grace, combining a marksman's eye with a perfect balance of physics. Specialized air compressors blast the hoverball into the air, where the law of gravity pulls it down and locks it in place, hovering in distance. Then the marksmen get to fire foam darts at those hoverballs. And this is the creme de la creme of the sport. 40,000 people have gathered, and after 127,000 rounds of grueling competition, we are down to two finalists, Tristan and Sam. The crowd is going wild, the tension is electrifying, and we take it now live to the competition floor for a play-by-play commentary. I have to start off by saying this is an absolute dream come true for the boy from Upper Northwest Southernham, the East Side. He came out of nowhere to make it this far. Here's Tristan. Tristan is stepping up. I see him leveling his blaster. Oh, he's got the foam dart. Oh, I see he's gone with a slight modification. Oh, the crowd is silence. Oh, listen to the silence. He fires. Oh, just right between hoverballs two and three. Oh, my goodness. It's a palpable sense of disappointment. Oh, the guy from Upper Northwest Southernham, he's got to be wondering what is happening here. Oh, but you have to remember, he's get five shots, so he lines up again. He goes, oh, the second shot is good. The second shot takes out the second ball. Oh, it's just amazing. The crowd is going wild. He's got a few more shots here. We're going to switch over to the second court to watch Sam. Now, you have to remember, in hoverball, they both shoot at the same time. No waiting. There's always something going on here. Now, Sam has blown his first two shots. He's grazed between four and five. It's so close. Hey, what's this? Tristan is stepping out of his court. He's going over to Sam. Oh, is there going to be conflict? Oh, my goodness. The bouncers are... Wait, hold on. Oh, he's extending a hand of friendship. He's leaning in. I think he's giving him a friendly word of advice. Oh, he pats him on the... Oh, see, this is what makes hoverball the sport that it is. That's just the sportsmanship. That's exciting. All right. Well, Sam is stepping back up. Oh, I see he's altered his stance. It seems like Tristan gave him a good piece of advice there. Oh, it's a dead shot through the middle. He knocks off three and ricochets off and gets two. That's amazing. That means the two of them are tied. Oh, looking over at Tristan. You know what? I have to say, I love it. He looks genuinely pleased that his opponent is doing so well. Again, hoverball, this is a contest of etiquette. This is a contest of good sportsmanship. We're gonna keep watching here going on. They're down to their final darts now. They've got two apiece. Oh, how disappointing. Sam has missed. That means it's all up to Tristan now. He could finish this. Oh, the crowd is watching. Oh, he misses just between two of the remaining hoverballs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this means we move into the lightning round, which is called biscuits and gravy here in Hovershot. The biscuits and gravy round is happening. Of course, they're both sitting down for a moment. Their coaches are massaging their shoulders. It looks like they're both having a juice pack. Oh, they're rehydrated. They're stepping up now. As you know, biscuits and gravy is the sudden death of the tournament. The first person to shoot and the first person to knock off one of the hoverballs wins. They get 5 bullets. They fire as fast as they can. Let's see what happens. Oh, there's a miss. Oh, there's another miss. Oh, it's so close. I can see that. You can see the tension on their faces. They're trying to calm themselves down. Back and forth. Oh, my God. We're going to have to go to another round. They've each used all 5 rounds. The dart collection boys have collected all the darts. All right, the foam darts are back in the guns, lining up. It looks like, once again, they're choosing to fire at exactly the same time. Again, what a great sport this is. They're lining up. Oh, Tristan's fired a little early. He missed. There it is, Sam has scored the winning goal. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, my God, the crowd is going wild. Tristan is walking over once again. Oh, shaking hands. What a beauty of a sport this is. It's such a privilege even just to be in here. I have to say, both of them, such winners. Tristan and Sam. Now, even though Sam is going to walk away the winner, everyone appreciates the sportsmanship Tristan has shown. I mean, this is a true pairing. I can only hope eventually they come out with pairs hoverball so we can watch these two not compete, but join up on the same side. What an unstoppable duo they will be. Well, once again, I'm Angus McScotsman signing off. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dreams Come True. All you kids at home who dream of making it this far, dreams come true. Join us next time for another exciting round of the International Hovershot Games.
Okay, listeners, so we really hope you enjoyed that game of hoverball that you were listening to. So, boys, could we just describe for our listeners that their balls were kind of balancing in the middle of the air? They were hovering, weren't they?
Yes.
Yes. And the reason why they were able to hover right in the middle of the air was because there was 2 laws of physics that were working to balance them out. So there was air that was helping the ball to bounce up and then gravity pushing the ball down. So that meant the balls could hover right in the middle. And because those laws of physics were working perfectly and the game was designed to use those laws, the game could work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the balls had free will, the balls could choose to not follow the laws, and of course, no one would have any fun playing the game.
Right. So what would happen if the balls had a brain and they could say, I don't want to follow these laws of physics. I don't believe in the law of gravity. I'm just going to do my own thing. Would that make the game very fun?
No.
No, it wouldn't work, would it? And we are designed the same way. We are designed to follow certain laws, and our life works best when we live according to those laws. Just like how the game works because the balls follow the laws that they were designed to follow. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? So where do you think we find these laws that we were designed to follow?
Governments, parents, teachers.
Yeah, so those are all people who design laws, and most of those laws are good, right? Especially today, living in Canada, we have a government that designs pretty good laws that keep us safe, right? But like we were talking about before, do you remember we said that sometimes people make mistakes?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there's bad laws.
Sometimes
there's bad laws.
Like King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Made bad laws. He was wanting people to worship him instead of worship God. So who should we turn to as the source of where we get good laws from?
God.
God. Absolutely. So God is the one who is good, right? And just, and his laws are always going to be good. So we want to be following God's laws, because the laws that he has designed are what is going to lead to our best way to live.
And just like parents have to tell us what the rules are, like they have to communicate, God communicates with us what his rules are. And we find that in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't just tell us what the rules are, it also tells us exactly the consequences of breaking those rules.
Mm-hmm. So the reward, I suppose, of following God's law is that we get to live in relationship with Him. And what would the consequence of breaking God's laws be?
Going to hell.
Yeah, in living away from God, right? In not having a relationship with God. And a really great example of that comes right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, when Adam and Eve had to choose if they were going to follow God's laws or think that they knew better. So we're going to come back after a quick break and talk more about that. And in the meantime, Tristan and Sam have some jokes to share with us.
Hey, Sam, are you hungry?
Yes, I'm hungry.
Oh, hi, hungry. My name's Tristan. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going pee?
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going pee?
Because a pee is silent.
What's overdressed and underdressed at the same time?
What's overdressed and underdressed at the same time?
Oh, that's a good one. I feel like the answer has something to do with a baseball bat made of cheese.
A gorilla in a monkey suit.
You were way off.
I was. There was no cheese or baseball bat in that. I like that. A gorilla in a monkey suit. Right on.
Why did the physics teacher break up with the biology teacher?
I don't know. Why?
Because there was no chemistry.
Nice.
Okay, thanks for those jokes, boys. Listeners, we're back to keep chatting a little bit more about why we should follow God's laws and how they are designed to lead to a good life for us. So do you boys remember when Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden, God gave them a choice and He told them that the law was to not eat from one tree in the garden. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
It says, don't eat from this tree. If you eat from it, you will die. Okay. So He tells them the law and He gives them the consequence and He lets them have a choice. So He doesn't force them to follow the law. He leaves it up to them. And what do they choose to do?
They choose to break the law.
Yeah. And what happens as a result of that? Do you remember?
They die.
They do die eventually, right? And they get kicked out of the Garden of Eden and they're no longer in perfect relationship with God. Right?
Yeah, that was an immediate consequence, right? Mm-hmm. Like they physically died later, but immediately their closeness with God was like cut and broken and they were far away.
Right. And that's why we now have all these problems in our world, right? We have broken relationship with other people. We have broken relationship with God. And our world isn't working the way that God designed it to work.
I have a question. We know that God has designed us to be with Him. And we know that we have the best life when we follow His design. But why do we not want to follow that? Like, if I'm designed to follow God's laws, then why is it so hard? And why is there something inside me that often wants to do the exact opposite of what God wants? I've often wondered about this about Adam and Eve. They had it so good. They were with God and they were following His design and it's so perfect. And why did they just kind of throw it away? Why do I throw it away?
That is a really good point. Sometimes we have this kind of rebellious feeling, right? Like Sam, you were talking earlier about how you have this rule in your house that you can't have snacks after a certain time at night, right? And do you often feel like, oh, I really just want those snacks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Tristan, we were talking about helmets, right? And you're like, I don't want to wear my helmet. I just don't want to do that. Right? And sometimes I feel like, well, I just don't really want to love that person right now because they're kind of mean to me and it takes a lot of effort and I need to be really kind and I would rather just spend my time like watching a video game or something.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that?
Yes.
So why do you think we have those feelings of not wanting to follow God's laws?
Because of Adam and Eve sinning. It caused original sin, and so we sin too.
Mm. Original sin is a good word. We should probably describe that for people. So original sin is kind of like where one person got a taste for something. Like let's say there was a poisonous cupcake. There was a poisonous cupcake, and who would look good and who would smell good? I mean, it was poisonous, but it looked amazing. And so one person, they walked right up to it, and they smelled it, and maybe they licked it a little bit, and they thought, oh, this isn't a big deal. And they took a big bite out of it, and they got so used to it that they even passed passed that on to their kids. Like, for example, my wife has some allergies and my kids have some allergies. Sometimes there's things that get passed on, and it seems like that sense that sin is tasty and good, even though it's totally poisonous, it gets passed on. So a good example of this is how even when I was a really, really little kid, even though I didn't know much, I knew that sometimes I wanted to break the rules. And I also thought, if I don't get caught, it's not a big deal. That was a big thing. Like, maybe my mom and dad had rules, but the real problem was if I got caught. So if I was really sneaky, or so maybe, for example, if Sam was really sneaky and wanted to have a snack after 5 o'clock, and he's like, well, if nobody catches me, I'm not in trouble. I haven't broken the rule. And that idea, that's a lie in my head. If it's a law, if I break the law, it's always a bad thing, whether I get caught or not. And I don't know that. It just seems to be something that we have from when we're very, very small, something that we've inherited, just like you said, coming down from Adam and Eve.
So it's almost like we need somebody who can show us what it looks like to live in obedience to God's laws, right? Because it's something that we know right from when we're babies, we can't do it on our own. We have this desire inside of us to run away from God and to follow the world's laws instead of God's laws. And so we need someone to show us what it looks like to live perfectly following God's laws. Do we have any ideas where we could find somebody like that?
At church.
Somebody at church? Okay. But anybody at church today is going to still have mistakes that they make, right? And not do things perfectly. So who's the one person in history who lived a perfect life?
Jesus.
Yes, he never licked the poisonous cupcake. Mm-hmm. He never sniffed it or took a nibble of it. He said no.
Mm. And it wasn't because he never had the opportunity, right? Mm. Jesus was tempted, right? And Satan came to him and said, try this, right? You could be king of the whole world, right? You could have all of this. And Jesus every time said no. And he chose to follow God's laws instead, because he knew that that would lead to the best life.
That's such a good example, because the big thing that Satan tempted Jesus to do was to use God's supernatural power in a way it wasn't designed to be used. Mm. So God's supernatural power, it always honors the fact that he made us to be free. And Satan basically was trying to tempt Jesus to enslave people and to force people and to take shortcuts. And when Jesus said no, he showed us that you don't just get stuff from God, you have to use it God's way. And he gave us such a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. And so we can use the example of Jesus in the Bible to help us know what it looks like to follow God's laws. And he did that by choosing to love and obey God. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to, who do we trust? Do you trust that God wants what's best for you? You remember we were talking about sometimes where you feel like laws or rules are there to be mean or just to stop you from having fun. Sam, you said you sometimes feel like you're in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the real question we need to ask ourselves is, do we think that God is trying to put us in a cage, or is God trying to give us the best life?
I really like this example of the cage, because a cage is something where you've got bars on all sides, right? And sometimes rules are like that, and then we're trapped. But God's laws are like railings. It's a barrier between us and falling off the cliff and dying. So all of God's rules, they fit with his love for us and his plan for us. So God doesn't put us in a cage, but it does have bars. Like a railing has bars. It stops us from going over it unless we choose to jump over, and then that's to our peril. Like we choose that danger and the consequences of it.
So do you remember I asked you earlier why rules are important, or if you think that they are good or bad? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you think if I asked you that again, would your answer change, or would you be able to give a reason why you think rules are good or bad?
They're still good.
They're still good. And could you, if somebody who didn't know, what would you say to them, Tristan? Why are rules good?
Rules are good because they stop us from doing bad.
Yeah, they're to protect us, right? And rules are there to give us a good life. And Sam, whose rules should we follow?
God's.
God's above all, right? And Tristan, it was really interesting. In your kingdom at the very beginning, do you remember you made Tristan Land?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the main rule in Tristan Land?
Not to murder anyone.
Not to murder anyone. And do you know where that rule originally comes from?
probably the Bible.
Exodus 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Ten Commandments.
So in the Ten Commandments, God sets out that rule that we should not murder people. And God gives us 10 commandments, 10 ways that we should live. And they are honoring to God and honoring to other people. So if we were to go back to your kingdoms, so you created those rules on your own, right? You came up with your own rule. Now I wonder if you were really to design a kingdom or a country, who would you turn to for advice on what rules you should have in your country?
God.
That would be a great place to start, right? And to live according to God's rules. And what's really exciting is that one day God is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth, and we are going to be living once again in perfect relationship with Him, just the way He designed us to be. Okay, listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Human Project for Kids podcast. Our challenge for you this week is to have a think about what's your opinion of rules. Do you sometimes struggle to follow the rules that your parents and that God have put in place to protect you and lead you to a good life? And maybe pray about ways that you can better follow God's laws, and which will better lead to your flourishing. Thanks for listening. If you want more information about resources we have available, you can check out thehumanprojectforkids.ca. Bye.
Bye.
Adios, mi amigos.